Good, let's commit our time to the Lord. Father, we thank you. You are a gracious God. We do see that in Scripture, and we acknowledge that we are unworthy of any of your goodness. We are rebellious. Most often, every day, we have to confess, Father, that we are sinners, but your grace continues to amaze us. And Lord, we seek to long and long to know more of your grace and your goodness, and we know that you have revealed that through words, on pages, in sentences. And if we are going to understand that better and grow more in that grace and in that knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, as Peter tells us to do, then we will have to understand your word. And that's why we are here. That's why this is important to us, Lord. We do not want to become academics and intellectuals, Lord, and sound clever, Father, and have some kind of qualification or something to boast of in ourselves. We want to honor you, and we want to know you, and that's why we are here. That's why we want to do this, and we thank you for that desire in our hearts. We thank you that we have the time to do that, and that you have given us the ability to do that. We pray that we would grasp what we are taught this morning in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Okay. Any questions before we begin with the notes today? It's a thick little pack, but the reason it's a thick pack is not because it's so much that we need to cover. Mostly it's a thick little pack because there's quite a bit of homework in it. So you can relax. You know, I've made it easy for you. Any questions before we start on these? Any questions from what we have done the last 2 weeks? Remember, we've looked at the 9 parts of speech. Okay? Can you remember all of them? The 9 parts of speech. Let's hear. Nouns, verbs, adverbs. All right. Adjectives, pronouns. What was that? We're getting there. Prepositions, very important. Prepositions, conjunctions, and interjections, right? And in fact, articles. The pronouns and the nouns go together as well. So, any questions on any one of those that's not clear that you don't understand that well? How did you do with your homework? Did you attempt to do your homework? Okay. Now, I intentionally gave that exercise to you last week. Remember at the end of last week's notes? I think it was last week's notes. I intentionally gave that to you to go and try and do, to sweat a little bit and to struggle and to fail. Okay? So that was my intention, because I wanted to prepare you for what we are going to look at this morning, because I think, I hope, when we cover what we want to cover this morning, a light is going to go on for you. If you struggled with the homework and you got a little confused with the verbs and what is the main verb and is this a verb or how does this word function in the sentence? Because remember, I told you last week, you won't know everything yet. We need to finish today, because there are actually still 2 more parts of speech that we need to cover before you're able to do that whole exercise and finish it. And that's what we want to look at today. Firstly, we want to look at what we call phrases, 2 more phrases. Now, we've already covered 1 phrase or even 2. We've covered the prepositional phrase, remember, where you have a word, a preposition, and then that preposition has a direct object, right, to the pulpit, right, or upon the pulpit. Remember, that's a preposition. But in that little phrase, prepositional phrase, there are no verbs. You don't have verbs in a prepositional phrase. The phrases we want to look at this morning, though, contain verbs, right? And they are not the main verbs of the sentence. Most often there's 1 exception. I'll show you what that exception is. Okay. So they contain verbs, these phrases. The first one is what we call a participle. All right. Gave you a definition there. Participle is a verbal form that usually functions, here we go, as an adjective or a noun. Okay. A participle is a verbal form that usually functions as an adjective or a noun. Now, what is the function of an adjective again? What does it do? Describes what? a noun or a pronoun. Okay? And a noun, you know what that is? That's a person, place, thing, or some kind of abstract concept. And when a participle has a helping verb, and I gave you some examples of is, was, am, are, those kinds of things, it functions as a verb. Okay? So it can function as the main verb. Otherwise, it functions as an adjective or a noun. Recognizing participles, it is very, very easy. ing. You need to be able to look for those little words in sentences which end with ing. And then you should start thinking possible participle. Possible participle, okay? The present participle ends with that ending just like that, and it doesn't have a helping verb in it. So it's not is, was, am, are connected to the verb. But it's still a verb. There's still some action taking place, right? Look at the first example there. That's B1A. The professor caught three students reading. Now, when you look at that sentence, you'll think, okay, but now I have two verbs here. I have caught, which is an action, a verb, right? And I have reading, which is an action and a verb. But that little ing gives us the way, which tells you it's a participle, and that verbal form does not function as the main verb in that sentence. In other words, we're only left with the verb caught. And that then becomes the main verb in the sentence. So, the reading functions as what in the sentence? Remember we said a participle can be an adjective or a noun. What is it in this case? Noun? Why not? The student is reading. What does it tell you about the students? What kind of students they are, right? What kind of students were they? They were the reading students. That's who they caught. He didn't just caught all the students. He caught the students who were reading. And so it tells you a little bit more about the students. Student is a noun. And so the adjective reading defines the noun students, right? That's a simple illustration. Secondly, the singing birds provided beautiful sounds. Again, we have two verbs there. We have singing and we have provided. Right? Which one is the main verb? Provided. Why? Because we know the singing ends with the ing. That functions as a participle and it describes the birds. It was not the laughing birds. It was not any other kind of bird. It was the singing birds who provided the beautiful songs. Okay, or sounds. Tells us something more about the verbs. You see how this verbal form functions as an adjective, not as a main verb. Then we have past participles, and they can be recognized by the endings of the past tense, basically D or ED, T, N or EN, EN. And that will have the helping verb with the characteristic ing ending connected to it. Right? There's an example there for you, 2A. The preacher having what? You see, the ing is still there on the helping verb, and then it ends with the ed. I think I put that in bold for you on the notes, all right? The preacher having watched his congregation could see that they did not know where to find the book of Hezekiah. Now, that's a long sentence. That sentence is a mouthful. In fact, when you analyze that sentence, you find four different verbal forms in the sentence, right? And we're going to, at the end, if we have time, we're going to take this sentence apart. I'm going to show you how we put the sentence back together, getting the main point out of it. But the having watched tell you something about the preacher, right? And what he has done. It's the preacher who's watched his congregation. It's not the preacher who closed his eyes. It's the preacher who watched his congregation. Having watched his congregation. Number B there, the young children, never having seen a lion, were absolutely terrified. You have the verb there, were terrified. And then you also have the verbal form there, having seen. But the having seen tells you something about the children, right? Which kind of children? It's the children who never saw lions, right? Understanding the function of a participle. Let's use this as to guide us. Just the more examples we do, the more acquainted you'll become with this. Use as adjectives. In other words, describing a noun or a pronoun. Okay? Look at those examples. I gave you simple sentences. The losing team, you see the ing immediately there. The losing team tells you something about the team. Was very sad after the soccer match. Number B, the dancing pastor were very annoying. The laughing hyena was very loud. It's a verbal form, but it functions as an adjective because it has the ing on there. That's what we call a participle. Used as nouns, it can be a noun form as well. When a participle fills any one of the positions that a noun would normally fill. In other words, it's a subject or the direct object or the object of a prepositional phrase or something like that, then it's considered to be a noun. Okay? I gave you some examples there. Studying is fun. So when you ask your questions of that short little sentence, you say, okay, where's my verb? It's the to be verb is, right? And then you would say, who or what is? Remember that little rhyme that we've gone through? Who or what is? Studying is. And so studying, even though it's a verbal form, functions as a noun in the sentence. Studying is what? It's fun. And there's your little sentence, and you've gone through your whole little routine, and you're able to analyze it, and you know what is what. Same way, it functions as a direct object. He loves studying. Okay, loves, main verb, simple. That's what's going on here. We know ing, that's not the main verb. It functions as a participle. And so we say, who or what loves? He. He loves what? He loves studying. And so it functions as a noun in the direct object. Okay? Look at the next sentence there. This library is perfect for studying. Right? Let's do this. The more we do this, the easier it will become. What does the sentence say? This library. Is perfect. Okay. Main verb. It's a is. That's what's going on. It's a to be verb, a state of being. It is, all right? Who or what is? All right? So we start our little diagram here and say we know the main verb is because the main verb cannot be that which is the only other word which contains some kind of function or action or state of being or anything like that is studying. But we know it's not that because the ing gives it away. So this must be the main verb. Who or what is? Library is. Library is what? Is perfect. Right? So we've used library, we've used is, we've used perfect. Right? Now, what about the rest of that sentence? What does that do? What is the function of the rest of the sentence? What does this do? It describes a particular kind of library. It's not just any library, it's this library. And so we put that under library, right? This library, which is a pronoun, right? This library is perfect. And what is this? What is this little word? Very good. And a preposition, you're going to find a prepositional phrase, right? Preposition, and the preposition always has a direct object, right? What is the direct object of this preposition? Studying, right? So that's a prepositional phrase. You bracket that goes together for studying. You see, the studying functions as the direct object of the prepositional phrase, okay? And what does this prepositional phrase describe in the sentence? Library, the kind of library. This library is perfect for studying, right? I would say the prepositional phrase functions as an indirect object in the sentence, right? Don't worry about that too much. It doesn't matter. Even if you put it what it is, it doesn't matter. It is for studying. That's okay. You've taken the parts out and now you just have to make a choice what this is describing best. It's perfect for what you can even say, and it can be under perfect. And that's where you need to make your choice in terms of what it describes best. Okay? That's just a simple example of how we see that the participle is not the main verb in the sentence. Here it functions as the direct object of the prepositional phrase, there's my main verb. And the ing gives it away. Okay? There's a little exercise. Let me help you with that exercise as we get started. Okay? Circle all the participles in the following sentence. It's very easy. You're going to see this. I enjoy preaching in church. Preaching. Okay? You would like to join the winning... Would you like to join the winning team? The word? Winning. Right? And what does the winning do in that sentence? What does it describe? The team. And so it functions as an adjective. Okay? And so you put winning under team in your sentence there. The people from the city are shouting and running to the river. Shouting and running are participles, and what do they function as in the sentence? As? Adjectives describing, an adjective describes a noun. What noun is shouting and running? The people from the city are shouting and running. Doesn't it describe what they are doing rather than who they are? It doesn't say the running people from the city are shouting. Now that would be different. Right? It describes what they are doing. Right? This is a tricky one because if you go back, you'll see when it contains the helping verb is, was, am, are, it actually functions as the verb. Right? And so you can put that together. That's a verbal phrase. They are running. They are shouting, and that conjunction and just joins the two together. All right? That was a tricky one. Just to make you see that you need to think there's no other verb in the sentence that can stand on its own. They are running and they are shouting. That's one thing that they're doing. Okay? My friend saw you studying and then later saw you fighting. Verbs in that sentence? Saw, okay. And verbal form, studying and fighting, right? What is the main verb in that sentence? Saw, because you know that's the one without the ing on it. And so, my friend saw, he saw you. What did he saw you doing? He saw you studying and then later saw you fighting, okay? Paul enjoys sitting by the lake in the morning. That's what he enjoys doing. Enjoy is the main verb. Okay. The rest of that exercise you can go and do. It's really going to be very helpful when you go to your First Thessalonians exercise, which is at the end of your notes last week. You're going to find quite a couple of words there with the ing ending. And you might have doubted whether that's now a verb. Is this the main verb? Is it what does it function as? But those are participles, and you can write those on top. And so it starts a participle phrase, okay? And it describes something, either as a noun or as an adjective, okay? Any questions on that? Does it sound a little confusing? A little confusing, okay? What is confusing about spotting the ing? Nothing confusing about that. Okay, that we can do. It's just what it functions as in the sentence. Okay, so the first step for now, I just want you to be able to spot the participles. Don't be too concerned about where it goes and what it's describing too much for now. Right? As long as you can spot the participle, because when you spot the participle, you'll be able to get the main verb. And that's important for now. To be able to get the main idea of a sentence first, okay? Is that difficult? That's not too difficult, right? Just spotting the ing and saying, this is a participle, right? And some of them are easy. Some of them you immediately see. The winning team. You know, the winning is describing the team, right? That's easy. Some of them will be a little bit more difficult, like the direct object of a prepositional phrase and things like that. But at least you know it's not the main verb, okay? Those are participles. Let's move on to infinitives, right? An infinitive is a verbal form, again, that usually functions as an adjective or a noun, the same as a participle, or as an adverb. It just has that extra one. It can also describe the verb, not just the nouns or the pronouns. Adjectives, nouns, or adverbs. Okay. Now, as participles, as participles have the little ing that gives it away, infinitive phrases also have a little something that gives it away most of the time. All right? Most of the time. And it's this little word to. Okay? So these are for participles. These are for infinitive phrases. Okay? Let's see how they function. Look at examples is the best way to look at it. An infinitive is a verbal that generally consists of the word to, plus then the verb. Like in your first example there, 1A. To study infinitives is interesting. Okay? Now, we know studying is a verb, right? We can study. It's something we can do, right? And then is a to-be verb. It's a state of being. So now, again, we have two verbs in the sentence. Which one is the main verb? Not the studying, because that has a clue that it's an infinitive, the to study. And it functions as a noun or subject in the sentence. My plan is to read tonight. Is the verb. What is, plan is, my plan is what? To read. And so it functions as the object. My plan is to read. That little word to gives it away. It's an infinitive. A helping verb is sometimes used between to and the verb. That's just to say that the phrase can be a little bit longer because there's timing involved. Yeah, it might be past tense or it might be future or something like that. And so it says, to have passed the English class is an amazing accomplishment. Right? And that whole phrase then, you would bracket to have passed. You know that's not the main verb, that is an infinitive phrase. Right? And the main verb there is, again. Now occasionally the word to is omitted. It's not there, that's why I said most often you get the word to. But to can still be inserted. The writer just assumes it would be an extra word to use in the sentence which is not necessary. But you can fill in the word to there and it doesn't change the meaning of the sentence at all. Look at that first example there. Could you help me diagram the sentence? Right? Now, there's a verb there, could help. Right? And then there's also a verb, diagram. Right? Which one is the main verb? Well, you put the word to in front of diagram and the sentence still makes the same sense. It still says the same thing. So, could you help me to diagram the sentence? Says the same thing as, could you help me diagram the sentence? And so there's an infinitive phrase there. Okay? Understanding the function. Let's look at the function here. Use as nouns. Alright? Now remember phrases, we bracket. When we see a phrase, we bracket them together. Like prepositional phrases. Alright? Here we go. To preach a good sermon, I put that in italics, I think, is a tremendous challenge. Now the whole italics there, we would put in brackets, because that's a prepositional phrase, right? To preach is a verb, verbal form, and to preach what? A good sermon. But that whole thing functions as the subject of the sentence, right? Because if you would say, is the main verb, you say, who or what is? Say, to preach a good sermon is. To preach a good sermon is what? A challenge. A tremendous challenge. Okay? Just remember asking the right questions. Find a main verb. We know the main verb is not preach. The main verb must be is. Find a main verb. Then ask who or what is. And then you find the answer to that. And you say, to preach, you read the sentence, to preach a good sermon is what? And there you have your subject, verb, object. Okay. Direct object can function as a direct object, infinitive phrase. The students like to sleep in class. Like is the main verb there. Who or what like? So the students like what? To sleep. And then what is the in class? Who knows? It is? Prepositional phrase, right? And so you bracket that, and the in class describes where they like to sleep, right? Okay. Functioning as an adjective, the gifts to be opened were on the table. Now, to be opened describes the kind of gifts that they were. And so it functions as an adjective. What kind of gifts? The gifts to be opened or the gifts not to be opened. That makes a difference. But it describes what kind of gifts these were. Right? Do you have a book to read in the queue? It describes what kind of book. The book that to read. Okay? Uses an adverb. In other words, now it describes the verb. The men had come to church to learn the English language. What question does that answer? Why they came to church, right? See, if you just ask the right questions, remember those questions. What? How does the little rhyme go? Who, what, when, why? No. What, when, why? Who taught me everything I ever knew? Something like that. But there's five of them. But the who must be last because it has to rhyme with new. What, when, why, how, and who taught me everything I ever knew. You want to write that down. What, when, why, how, and who. What, when, why, how, and who taught me everything I ever knew. And that little rhyme helps you to ask the right questions. Always be asking the sentence, what, who, when, why, how. Ask the sentence those questions, and then everything that you haven't used is going to answer those questions somehow in a sentence. Like the one that we had there. He, 3b, he would be very happy to meet you. It functions as an adverb. So when he will be happy. He will be happy when he meets you. That's what would make him happy. Why he would be happy if he meets you, to meet you. And then it can function as the main verb. He's going to study tonight. I have to. And it's just the helping verb, but there's no other verb in the sentence. He is going to study is one whole verbal phrase. Don't worry about too much. As long as you can spot the infinitive, the to, okay? Now, let's do that little exercise that I have there in homework number 3, and then I'll leave number 4 for you to go and practice at home. Circle all the infinitive in the following sentence. To preach a good sermon is quite difficult. To preach, okay? It's very simple. Who wants to attempt saying what that functions as in the sentence? Now, ask your questions. Find the main verb. Ask your questions of the text, right? And then say what you think it functions as. Remember, it can function as a noun or subject object, can function as an adjective or an adverb. An adverb in what sense? What verb is it describing? Sermon a verb? Sermon is a noun. Okay, and so what words describes nouns? Adjectives, right? Adjectives describes nouns. Now, is to preach describing the sermon? No, it's not. It's surprising. It's describing what you're going to do with this sermon, right? And so that whole phrase there, remember I said they come in phrases, and so you would bracket to preach a good sermon or a sermon. You would bracket the whole thing. You have the verbal form to preach, and that verbal form has a object, which is the sermon. To preach a sermon, that whole thing functions as a subject, which is a noun. To preach a good sermon is quite difficult. Okay? I was embarrassed to tell my name to the lecturer. Infinitive phrase there? To tell what? My name. And so the whole thing would be an infinitive phrase. You would bracket the whole thing. To tell my name. To tell my name. Right. Matthew is going to preach today. The two preach. The two is very easy there. The two is in every sentence. And so you can identify the infinitive phrase in these sentences. That's what I want to accomplish today, as long as you can see them. And so what we've just done for 35 minutes is to just say, look for ing and look for two. Okay? Look for ing and look for two. It's as simple as that. And when you find that, you write down adjective, participle or infinitive. Just be careful with the infinitive, right? Make sure that it's a verbal form. Because the word to can also be a preposition. Right? As in towards. I'm going to the pulpit. I'm going towards the pulpit. And so I gave you a little exercise there, number 5, right? For you to define whether this is a preposition or whether this is an infinitive. And it's really not that hard. Let's do the first 3. Peter is going to the store. What is that? Preposition, why? Right? Toward, you can put in toward, right? Going toward. And there's no verb in that sentence, right? In that phrase. Store is not a verb. Store is a noun. And so there's no verbal form in that sentence, and that gives it away as well. The purpose of the church is to equip men and women. That would be an infinitive. Why? Because equip is a verbal form. To equip. To preach God's word is a great responsibility. Infinitive. Let's do the next one. Are you ready to go to Polokwane? Preposition. There's no verbal form there. Okay, you're getting this, right? So just look out for that. Look for the ing, look for the to, and make sure the to is an infinitive and not a prepositional phrase. Okay? Now, those are phrases. I know it can feel overwhelming now a little bit when we look at all these examples, and you think, well, where is all of this going to fit? We're going to do complete examples, okay, of sentences like the one in Thessalonians, and you're going to see how it fits and where it all goes, okay, as long as you can identify them for now. Now, let's look at clauses here very quickly. A clause is a group of words that has a subject and a verb. There are two sub-categories within the concept of a clause. In other words, just saying you have main clauses and then you have subordinate clauses, okay? What that just says is main clauses can stand on their own. Okay? In itself, it means something and it makes sense. Subordinate clauses cannot stand on their own. They do not make sense on their own, even though they have a verb and an object in it. Right? It doesn't make sense on its own. It's subordinate to a main clause. Okay? That's what it's saying. You're going to see the examples. Okay? I don't think you have this on your notes, but to give you an example just that I have here. If I should say, until I come, you give attention to the public reading of Scripture. Okay, that's from Timothy. Until I come, you give attention to the public reading of Scripture. Right? There's two phrases in there. I'm going to give it to you now. We're going to see. Until I come, that's the one phrase, clause, you should say. And then give attention to the public reading of Scripture. That's another little clause there. Okay? Which one can stand on its own and which one cannot? If I should just come in here and say, until I come, you say, yeah, well, what does that mean? Give me context to it. And the context is the main clause. I could come in here and I could just say, give attention to the public reading of Scripture. And you would understand what I mean. That would be a complete sentence. That would make sense if I say that. Right? And so you see how the main clause can stand on its own. The subordinate clause needs to be attached to a main clause. I cannot just say, until I come. Even though I have a subject in that sentence and I have a verb in that sentence, on its own it doesn't make sense. Okay? It's describing another main clause. Okay? That's a typical example. And your main verbs are going to be found in your main clauses. That's logical. Okay? Now, the use of clauses. Same thing again. They can function as adjectives, adverbs, or nouns. Adjectives, adverbs, or nouns. Same thing again, because it's just answering all the questions. of when, where, why, how, and who. I think I gave you that example then, the three examples for how it functions. Okay, I'm going to keep this simple. Our class, which meets in the Brown Building, discusses the importance and use of grammar in our schools or in our Bible readings or whatever. Okay. Now I put the clause there for you in italics. Okay, because you don't know how to identify them yet. I'm going to tell you now. Circle that little word "which" in your clause. Okay. That word gives it away that it's a clause. You have words which I'm going to give you a list of now, right? And when you spot that word, you say, this is a potential clause, and I need to watch out for it. Okay? Tell me in that sentence, our class, which meets in the Brown Building, discuss the importance and use of grammar in our schools. Where do you see verbs in the sentence? I'm talking about the whole sentence. Forget about the different clauses now. Tell me where the verbs are in the sentence. Meets is one verb, okay? Discusses, that's another verb. Those two, right? How do you know which one is the main verb in the sentence? You need to look for the subordinate clause. In other words, which sentence just describes something else in the sentence. Okay? And that little word "which" gives it away. Right? Our class, which, this is going to tell you something about the class now. I mean, that just makes logical sense. You don't need to know all the fancy words. So, our class, which meets in the Brown Building. That just tells you about the class. What kind of class this is. Our class, which meets in the Brown Building. Oh, so you mean not the class which meets in the Green Building. No, the class which meets in the Brown Building. We discuss the importance and use of grammar in our schools. She just defines the class. That whole sentence, even though it has a verb in it of itself, it's a clause which describes one word in that sentence, main sentence, which is the word class. So it's our class. The word our describes the kind of class that it is. And which meets in the Brown Building describes the kind of class that it is. Okay? The word which gives it away. Adjective clauses modifies the nouns. Now, the next example there. Confused, after the class was over, Susan decided to meet with her group to discuss the paper. Now, the verbs in that sentence. Confused, okay? Now, confused, in fact, is the first verb, okay? Then, was. See that little word "was" there? That's the to be verb in the clause there. After class was over, that "was" is a verb. Okay? Then, decided. Then, meet. Then, to discuss. Five potential verbs in the sentence. Main verb in the sentence. How do you know which one is the main one? Okay? Now, apply what we've just learned with infinitives and cut those out immediately. Tell me where the infinitives are. To meet, right, and to discuss. We know those are infinitives. They cannot be the main verb in a sentence. Okay? So we bracket those around and say, this is a phrase. Right? We're going to use that as a phrase somewhere. It's going to answer a question about something, either the noun or the verb, or it's going to be an adjective or an adverb or something of the sort. Okay, so we've cut those two out already. We only have three left. All right, confused is then one. Susan decided, all right, to meet. Confused, by the way, is not a verb here. Confused is an abstract concept. It's what she was. It's not a verb in the sentence, right? If it was to say "be confused," then it would be a verb. But it's the abstract concept. It's like love. It can be either a noun or a verb. I could say to you, "Love, you must love," right? That's something you must do. Or I can say to you, "Love is a beautiful thing." that there would function as a noun. And confuse is the same here. So confuse is not a verb in the sentence. The main verb that's left is decided, right? That's the confused describes just what Susan was, who she is. She's the participle of Susan, okay? And then after clause was over is a clause, because circle the word after in that little clause. That gives it away. There's a clause. And that little clause answers what question in the sentence? Susan decided to meet with a group to discuss the paper. A? Which question? When? When she decided. It was after the class was over. Not in the middle of the class. After the class was over. It describes. And so it functions as an adverb because it describes when this happened. Okay? The last one there. An adverb clause modifies the participle confused, right? When this happened, the verbal form of confused, okay? Whoever wins the race will receive the trophy, okay? That whole thing, the whoever functions as a phrase, whoever wins this race, because you have the verbs win, wins, and then you also have receive, right? Now, again, take those two phrases. If I just say to you, whoever wins, that doesn't make sense. I can't use that as a sentence on its own, even though it has a subject and a verb and an object, right? It doesn't make sense. Whoever wins, it doesn't make sense. But if I say to you, we'll receive the trophy, right? It just needs a subject, right? Who is that subject? The one who wins the race. And so it functions as a noun. The whole phrase functions as a noun, as a subject. Okay? Now, this is gonna help you in everything that we just looked at. That's the different way in how it functions. This is gonna help you. We have key connector words, which gives phrases away, and then describes the different way in which phrases function. Okay? Those words that I have in bold in this list to follow, right? Not the words relative, the words in the middle of the page where it says who, which, whom, and that. And then you go a little down and you say when, while, after, then, since, before, as, and a little further down is in order, that, so, that, therefore, as a result, so, thus, those little words, those are all the connector words which you need to be looking out for. And so you need to know a little bit about these words and how to ask questions of these words. And that's how they then function as clauses describing something in the sentence. Boy, this sounds technical. I don't even think I understand myself. Are you okay? Take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. Let's get some oxygen to the brains. Right? Get it here for the last 10 minutes. Alright, hold out. You're eventually going to see this. And then when you do this, the more you do this in sentences, you're going to say, I don't know why that was so difficult. Right? Relax. You're going to see it. Right? As we do sentences. Right? Those are just the different ways in which it can function. Right? Relative. I'm not going to go through this whole list. We don't have time for that. You can go and read through them. I'm just going to show you some examples here. Right? Relative means it relates to the subject or the noun in the verb, in the sentence. Okay? Look at the sentence there. The God who made the world and all things in it does not dwell in temples made with hands. Right? The word who there should be circled immediately, because you know now this is going to tell you something about the God. What kind of God this is. The God who made the world and all things in it. It's that God who does not dwell in temples made with human hands. Right? So you have more than one verb there. You have the verb made. You have the verb does not dwell. And then made again there at the end. But you know it's not the made in the beginning who made, because that tells you just something about the God. The little word who gives it away. And you can spot those little connecting words. You're going to pick up the clauses like that. Okay? Look at the second sentence there. He has fixed a day in which he will judge the world. That just tells you something about the day. What kind of day that's going to be. It's going to be the day in which he judges the world. And so it relates to that little noun there. Temporal, the rest of them are, by the way, all functions as adverbs. describes you something about the verb. Okay? Look at it. It's those little words, when, while, after, then, since, before. When they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some began to sneer. Right? It just tells you when they began. When they began to sneer. When they heard about the resurrection of the dead. His spirit was provoked within him as he was observing the city full of idols. It tells you when his spirit was provoked. It's answering that question, right? You get that? Those little connector words you're going to have to just look at and almost learn, memorize, right? Purpose clauses is the same. Result clauses is the same. It answers questions about the verb and the things which are taking place. Okay? Now, we don't have time to look through all of that. I want to just go to sentences, the last section on your notes there. All right? And then I want to do one example. Okay? When we look at sentences, we look at a bunch of words connected together, and then we want to analyze the sentence so as to make sense of it in terms of what it's saying, okay? And this is the process that you follow to analyze a sentence, okay? You select a group of verses that form a complete sentence. Remember, sentences go over verses in your Bible. It's not just verse 1 ends a sentence, verse 2 ends a sentence. Sentences can go sometimes over 4, 5, 6 verses, right? And so you select a complete sentence, firstly. Okay? That's what you do. And then you identify all the parts of speech of the sentence. You write it down. You make a little note on top. This is a noun. This is a verb. Here I spot a participle. This must be an infinitive because there's a word to there. Prepositional phrase right there. This is an adjective. It describes something to me about this man. There's a clause. I can see the little word who there that tells me something about God. And so you define the little words that you see there. Okay? Find then the words that function as subject, verb, and object. Find the words that function as subject, verbs, and object in its simplest form. And so when you cut out all the infinitive phrases and you cut out the participles and you cut out the prepositional phrases and the adjectives and all those things, you're going to be left with one subject, one main verb, and possibly an object and possibly a direct object. All right? And that's the simplest form of that sentence. Standing on its own, it makes sense and it says something. Okay? Then, once you've done that, then you start asking your questions. When, where, why, how, and who. Of everything else that's left that you already bracketed out. And you say, okay, what is this describing? What is this infinitive phrase describing with the questions that I'm asking? Is it telling me when this happened? Is it telling me how it happened? Is it telling me something about the person doing this action? You ask those questions. I list them to you. What is the action? Who or what is the subject? The direct object. Who or what is the direct object? That's the sentence. The phrases and clauses. I'm with the last block now. What kind of? How many? When did the action happen? Where did the action happen? How did the action happen? Why did the action happen? To what degree did the action happen? Describing all of those things. Okay? Now, with that in mind, I think on this note, there you have it. I gave you that sentence again to go and work on again now. Right? And so when you look at it there, you say, we give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of all of you in our prayers. Let's just start with that first little sentence there. Okay? So we give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in all our prayers. Tell me something of what you see in the sentence that we can do, how we can start. What are some of the key things, even that which we've learned this morning, that you see immediately? Let's do this. June. There? Making mention is what? It's a participle. You see the ing immediately. And so you bracket it and you write on top of it, participle phrase. Okay? Everybody do that. Okay? What else do we see here? To God is infinitive or prepositional phrase, right? No verb there. To God, prepositional phrase. Bracket that out immediately. Okay? What else? Look for the phrases. Prepositional phrase, participle phrase, infinitive phrases. Sorry? Thanks is a verb, or give thanks, that can go together. Give thanks, it's a verb, so you can write on top there, verb. Okay? While we're there, what is the we? It's a noun. Let's just write noun for now before we start thinking about how this noun functions. We is a pronoun, in fact. You can write pronoun if you want to. We give thanks to God. We already know that's a prepositional phrase. Always, what is that? What is the word always? What question does it answer? When we give thanks. And so it tells you something about the timing of the action. And so that's a adverb. Okay, so you write on top there, adverb. Then we have for, what is that? Preposition. And so what's the direct object of the preposition? For all. There's a preposition, bracket that, for all. And then of, it's a, of is a preposition, right? Of is a preposition, and the object of that preposition is you. There's another preposition. See, I told you, prepositional phrases. You find them over and over and over and over in Scripture. We already have three here. To God, for all, of you. Making mention, participle phrase, of you. Prepositional phrase, in our prayers. What is that? Preposition in our prayers, prepositional phrase, right? Now we've bracketed everything already. We know what are phrases. We have no clauses yet in this sentence, right? So we know the phrases. What is the main verb? What must be the main verb in the sentence? That's the only one that's left. The only option is give thanks. Yes, we're getting to that. That's a clause. We're not going to do that now. I'm going to leave that one for you, but you gave it away. That's a clause that's defining what? How? Or we can even say when we give thanks, right? But let's just deal with this first part here up to the end, just before the number three there. Okay? So we said, give thanks is the main verb, right? Who or what give thanks? We. Right? We give thanks. What? To whom? To God. And so you have a prepositional phrase there that can either function as an object, or you can just put it here. That's simpler. So you say there's no direct object here, right? And now we go through, now we ask the questions. We say, okay, we give thanks to God, prepositional phrase, what is that answering? Where our giving of thanks is going, right? It's answering where. And so we say, we can even write that here, we say where? To God, right? We give thanks to God. And then always, where does that fit? Always is, we already wrote it on top there. What did you write on top of always? An adverb. And an adverb does what? It describes a verb. We only have one verb here so far. And so it must go under the verb and say always. And that describes what about this verb? When. Answers the question when. Okay, where, when we give thanks to God, always, why? Why? For all, and then the of you describes what? The all, right? And so we put under the all of you. Okay? See where I'm going with this? Let me say, making mention of you in our prayers. That describes what? The making mention, we said, is a participle, and the participle functions as a an adverb describing how we're giving thanks. By making mention, right? And so making mention, I'm going to write that out, that describes how we are giving thanks. By making mention of you, mention, remember, that making mention of you. The of you would just be the direct object there. Okay? Making mention of you. That goes together. And then in our prayers, that's a prepositional phrase. And what does that in our prayers describe? Making mention of you in our prayers, where we are making mention, right? Or we can say how we are making mention. Doesn't really matter. In our prayers. Okay. And that describes the where they are making mention. Okay. Now, do you see how we've just asked our questions and we've analyzed the whole sentence? The main point that Paul is giving across here is, we give thanks. We give thanks. That's the main point. And then he's just going to define where the thanks is going, when they are giving thanks, why they are giving thanks, how specifically they are giving thanks, and then something else about those little phrases. Okay. That's the first little sentence. Yes. You can, or you can just keep it as a verbal phrase. So you can use the thanks as almost an abstract concept of thanks. Alright? I'm thankful, or we give thanks. So we can move this here to the direct object. It doesn't really matter. You can just make the choice. The main sentence is still the same. I would keep this together as a verbal phrase because it's one thing that we're doing. We're giving thanks. Okay? Questions? Other questions? So, we've done all the parts of speech now. All 11 of them, I think, with the participles and the infinitives included. And we've touched on clauses. If you don't get all of that this morning, then you're probably normal. And you're probably not genial. Okay? Like the rest of us, okay? But if you do get everything this morning, then you are above average, because it took me quite a while to get this as well, and it's just the nature of it. The more you practice it, the more you exercise it, the more you look at sentences, the more you ask questions, the easier some of these things will become, okay? So don't be too overwhelmed. You just need to get the theory first. And once you have the theory now, which I've given to you, now we can look at examples. And we can do more and more and more of this. And I can give you examples. And I can say, okay, now you look at it. Now you define the different parts of speech. And then whatever is left, you make your main sentence. And then you ask the questions of the sentence. That's the process you follow. And that's how, so if I would preach this sermon, my main point would be about giving thanks. That we should be a people who give thanks, right? That would be my main point. And then I would probably have four or so, some of them I might combine, but four sub-points. And so I would have a four-point outline sermon, right? And I would define it some way in terms of where our thanks should be going, and then I would contrast that to where people's thanks normally go. Where are we quickest to give thanks? Right, in contrast to where Paul's thanks was, it was always to God. He was looking to God, and then the always I would make that a separate point, and I would stress how important it is for us to be continuous in this. We don't just do that once and say, "Well, I thank God." You know, I know God gives me food, and I thanked Him. I've already done that in my life. God saves people. God works in people's lives. God protects us from sin. We don't thank Him once. We thank Him always. Well, we continue doing that. And then I would have a third point. I would say where Paul's focus was, why he was giving thanks, because he was looking at people. And for Paul, people were important. And so I would make that a third point of my sermon. Right? And then my fourth point would be making mention of you, and then I would stress how we should be praying for one another specifically as we think about one another in our prayers, because that's where the making mention is taking place. And so I would have 4 points in my sermon. Okay? Now, I know that you are not necessarily going to be preparing sermons, right? But you should be preaching to yourself every time that you read the Bible, at least. And you know, leaders of families, they should be preaching to their families. They should be teaching them these things. You should have people in your lives whom you are discipling, and you should be teaching them these things. And so when you read a passage with them, that's what I do in my mind. When somebody comes to me with a passage of scripture and they say, what does this mean? The first thing I do in my mind is I do something like this. Right? I try and establish, okay, let's get all the other extras out of the sentence and let's just get the main point first. And once I've got the main point, now I can say, okay, let's see what is being said about the main point. And that's where normally where the punches come in. Alright? Okay. I'm sorry if I scared you. I hope it's not my face. Sorry? Yeah. Well, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I know we're giving away our secret. You always think your pastors are very clever. You say, how is it that I've read that sentence a million times and I've never seen this? So it's not because we're so clever. We're just following the rules of grammar. Sorry, guys. That's, now you can do it as well. And part of why we're doing this class is not only for you, it's also for us, so that you can keep us accountable. So that as we preach, you can look at the Bible and say, where is that coming from? I want to see it in my Bible. Our lecture seminary always used to tell us, when you're preaching, you want to see your people doing this all the time. Because what you say, they want to see in Scripture. They don't just want to hear what you think. They want to see it. And this is teaching you to look for it as we preach it. Because I can't every time that I preach do this for you. Right? Unless you have the whole Sunday, every Sunday, then we can start the sermon that way and I can first do this and apply it to you. But I'm just giving you the end product. You should be able to see where that end product comes from. Okay, I'm taking up your time. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being with us this day. And I do pray, encourage us and help us as we strive to learn these things, Lord, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.